welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now here is Brother Chad Johnson with today's message.
Welcome back to the broadcast this week. We're going to be preaching through Psalm 119. We're going to go verse by verse, and we started last week in verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. We were looking at the last part of that verse as we were closing last week. It said, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Those who walk in the law of the Lord will in fact be undefiled. As we hide God's Word in our hearts, we will not sin against Him. The infusion of the Word of God into our hearts and lives, perhaps more than any one thing, helps keep us undefiled in the way of life. There's a lot of good books that have been written. There's a lot of good helps and things that help us understand the Word of God. But I won't say, and I have to be careful, I love to read after Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a great Baptist preacher from the 1800s. And I have to be careful, though, because we've got a limited amount of time in a day to do what all we have to do. And we must be careful that we don't let other books substitute for the Word of God. That's what will help us live undefiled in the way, is the Word of God. It brings blessing from God, both directly and indirectly. For Thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous, Psalm 5:12 tells us. Living a life which is undefiled by sin is a blessing in itself. Sin brings nothing but trouble and loss and destruction and misery. The Word of God is a crucial thing in developing a life undefiled by sin. See, we must realize that the Word of God is there to help us. It's our guide. It's our strength. The Word of God is there for those purposes. Not only is the Word of God necessary to salvation, you must hear the Word of God, but it's also necessary to help us walk undefiled in the way. Then verse 2 says, blessed are they that keep His testimonies. There's the word mentioned again. And that seek Him with the whole heart. Blessed are they which keep His testimonies. The word translated as keep there has the literal sense to guard or watch over. Blessed are they that guard or watch over His testimonies. The clear teaching here is of the obedience to God's Word. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, that stay to them, that keep them in their mind and keep them ever before them. Then the second thing I want to look at is the word testimonies. It refers to the law of the Lord, His Word. Indeed, a principle which runs from the cover to cover of the Bible is that God will bless obedience to His Word. It runs from Genesis, when God promised blessing to Abraham for obeying His voice, to Revelation 22:14, when Jesus promised blessing for doing His commandments. The Lord has magnified His Word above His name. There has always been blessing on the redeemed of the Lord who kept the Word of God and went by the Word of God and live by it, and there's always been a curse and a judgment and a time of judging on those who didn't listen and heed to the Word of God. I tell you what, the Word of God is not hard most of the time to understand it, but it's hard on our old flesh to put in practice and to implement what we know to do. We as human nature and as human beings in our human nature, we confuse things up and make things more difficult as they are. It's not really difficult when the Bible says deal with sin in the church, deal with sin in your life. The man is the head of the wife, the children are to be in subjection to their parents. I mean, there's things that are very simple, but we have made them so hard because man has got in there and twisted them around and tried to say, well, I don't think it means that, it doesn't mean this, and we have situational ethics. And, you know, the situation determines whether the Bible's this way or that way. But that's not true. If that's the case, we'd butcher the whole Bible. And it wouldn't be anything left because we would all cut out what we didn't want to be applied to our lives. And then the last part of that verse, and that seek Him with the whole heart. Furthermore, the blessing of God extends it to those that seek Him with the whole heart. Few things please God more than those who seek them from their very heart. The word translated as whole heart simply means heart. However, the implication is of seeking Him from the bottom of one's heart or their whole heart. There are rich blessings awaiting those who seek after God with all their heart. David testified to the same in verse 10 when he cried out, "With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Blessed indeed is the man who seeks the God of heaven with his whole heart." See, he didn't come to the Lord and before the Lord half-hearted, seeking Him just with part of his being, but with all that was in him. He's saying, "Lord, with all that is within me, all that is within my being, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." See, we must hunger and thirst after the Word of God. When you hunger and thirst, now most of us that are probably listening have never really been hungry. You can look at us and tell that. But most people say, "I'm starved to death." But I'm talking if you were really starving. I mean, hadn't eaten in several days and hadn't drank water, had a drink of water for 4 or 5 days and were nigh unto death, you would know what it meant. He said, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness," just as much as you would crave the water or a piece of bread after you'd been without them for many days. That's how we ought to spiritually cleave and hunger and thirst and desire God and what He wants in His Word. Oh, God, help us in America to once again, as a people of God, start hungering and thirsting after God and not just after money and material things and sin, but help us to hunger after what's right. I'm afraid the church of the day is like the church of Laodicea. We're rich and increased with goods and in need of nothing. But what we need more than bigger buildings and bigger gyms and bigger programs is we need a touch of old-time, Holy Ghost-sent revival of a hunger for the Word of God. That we hunger and thirst and say, "No matter what, no matter what it costs, I'm going to listen to the Word of God. I'm going to seek it with my whole heart." And this man will be blessed if he does so. Verse 3. "They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways." It's talking about those that seek the Lord with their whole heart. In verse 2, "They also do no iniquity." The circle of this introductory thought is complete. Those who are undefiled in the way of life, who walk in the law of the Lord, who keep His testimonies and seek Him with their whole heart, do no iniquity. The saturation of our hearts with the Word of God, coupled with a heart determined to seek God and obey Him, will help us rise above the mire of sin. No, we won't live sinless, but we will sin less after the Lord saves us. And if we're seeking His Word, His testimonies with our whole heart, these will be blessed by the singular virtue of such dedication. Verse 3 is one verse in this chapter in which the Word of God is not explicitly mentioned. However, walking in His ways certainly parallels the thought of walking in the law of the Lord. This great chapter, thus introduced by the profound principle of the power of the Word of God to transform lives and bring great blessing. See, the Bible said there in verse 3, "They do no iniquity, they walk in His ways." That's talking about the undefiled who walk in the law of the Lord. The blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with His whole heart. That group, those people who do that, they do no iniquity. They're not controlled by sin, and they walk in the ways of the Lord. Oh, I'm glad that it's possible that in a hell-bound, hell-destructive world that is so consumed with sin, and I know people say, "Preacher, the sodomites have always been here, the whores have always been here, the drunkards, the thieves," and I say, "Yes, I know. You look at the Bible and the Old Testament, the bestiality and rape and incest and all that junk has always been, but I'm telling you the difference is now that it's in the mainstream media, that it's accepted by so-called Christians, it's accepted by modern-day pulpits, it's accepted as a norm, and that they've got a right to live like that, and we shouldn't look down on them. You can't judge. Judge not, lest you be judged. They'll take that out of context, but I'm telling you, we must make spiritual judgments once again and decide what's right and what's wrong according to the law of God. His testimony is the Word of God. Then let's look at verse 4. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. In the law of Moses, there are numerous places in which God directs Israel to keep His commandments. Deuteronomy 6:17 summarizes them all. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and His testimonies and His statutes, which He commanded thee. Once again, the greater thought in keeping His precepts and commandments is the idea of obeying or doing them. See, it's not just enough to say in your mind and heart, yeah, I agree with them, they're right. That's the problem with a lot of people who believe salvation by grace, and that is taught in the Bible. But they say grace, 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 and then it doesn't matter, you know, what will be, and it doesn't matter the practical side, the everyday living. But I'm telling you, it's not enough to just be a hearer of the Word, but a doer of the Word shall be blessed, in James it says. You can hear all the Word of God you want. I know a lot of people say, oh, I can take preaching. We don't need people in our churches to take preaching. We need people to take it into their heart and life and apply it to their life. But we don't need you just to take preaching. A punching bag can take a lick and you can beat it to death, and then it's still a punching bag when it's done. And just because you can take preaching and not get mad, you know, I wish some people would get mad. If they ain't going to get right, at least they'd get something. I mean, a lot of people, you know, I remember a day, and I've just been preaching for 5 years, but back 5 years ago even, you preach a good, strong Bible message, and it'd make some glad, make some mad, but at least they'd get something. But now, even if they're wicked as the devil, it don't affect them. They don't get mad at it much anymore. They just say, okay, whatever you say, preacher, I'll listen and go home and do what I want, not worry about what the Word of God says. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts and to do it diligently. It essentially means a commandment or statute. Moreover, our obligation is to keep His commandments and to do it diligently. How often do the people of God give mere lip service to the things of God, going through the motions? Our duty is to obey His commandments diligently. That means consistently. You know, when somebody's diligent to do something, that means they do it day after day, year after year, decade after decade, as long as they live. And that ought to be our goal and desire, because God has commanded us to keep His precepts diligently. God bless you. We'll be back next week in Psalm 119, and we'll begin in verse 5.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.